Hello there and welcome along to this week's edition of the official EFL podcast. Joining me on co-hosting duties this week is a goal poacher turned pundit and broadcaster back on EFL duty after a summer down under.
Yeah, it was one of those once in a lifetime experiences. I know it sounds cliche, but yeah, it was unbelievable. So, you know, I was trying to work hard, but, you know, surfing on Bondi Beach on the off days, I mean, it'd be rude not to.
Gillingham lead the way in Sky Bet League 2. We get the inside track from their boss, Neil Harris.
We've had five wins in the league, 7 wins in all competitions out of 10 games. It's been a mad start, 10 games in the first 5 weeks. I've got to be honest, for the group, for the staff and the players. But we had a real positive start.
Andy's seen it all at the highest level of professional football, but how will he fare in our very own 72 in 72? It's Cardiff City's Aaron Ramsey taking part this week. A very warm welcome to the official EFL podcast. Okie dokie, joining me this week as an esteemed guest, but also as my co-host and hopefully the one to do most of the heavy lifting between now and the end of the pod. And don't worry, she's used to it, having worked with me before. It's goal poacher turned broadcaster, Courtney Sweetman-Kirk. Courtney, hello, how are we?
I am very well. As you say, I'm working with you. I know the drill by now, so I'll just let you look good and I'll do all the hard
yes,
work.
Yes, well, hard work, yes, looking good bit. That's very much up for debate. Thank you very much for joining me. We're going to start, obviously, because we've had an international break. We've all missed the championship. We're going to get onto that in due course. Beginning with League One, though, because there's no rest for the wicked when it comes to the rest of the EFL. Exeter City, who were sitting pretty, of course, lost to Leyton Orient in stoppage time at the weekend. Exeter, I think it's safe to say, we're all extremely pleased, but a little surprised with how well they're doing, with the greatest respect, of course, to Gary Caldwell, a very intimidating figure. The last thing I need is him on my back. do we get the feeling, perhaps, with Leyton Orient and Richie, a lot's been made about the teams that have come up. Is this going to be a bit of a turning point, do we feel, from a confidence point of view for his team?
Yeah, I think it's one of those, isn't it? As you say, that injury time goal to Tiriu and 90 plus two, and I think it's always the best way to win a game, isn't it? To score late on. Especially if you want scoring the goal as well. And I know in essence, you know, you'd rather win it comfortably, but it is, you know, football's a funny thing. So to, as I say, to battle to win it late on, it'll definitely give Orient some confidence. I think, look, it's been a bit of a mixed start, but I think, you know, we're still so early on in the season, but equally you don't want to, you know, fall away because it's a long way back. But I think, as you say, it's a good 3 points. It's a great confidence booster. And as you say, Exeter, you know, going great guns as well. And as you say, slightly surprising, but, you know, fair play to them. And, you know, when you sit in top of the, you know, top of the bunch, it's always difficult. So at least they've got the points on board early. I think for them, that's the important thing. And they've got a real good base to build on.
The other team that came up with Orient, of course, Stevenage. They drew with Carlisle. That point, though, was enough to take them to the very top. So that's the first time in their entire history that they've been top of League One. Steve Evans, of course, 17 months in charge, took over when they were second bottom of League Two. It's safe to say, isn't it, that that man knows how to get results, he knows how to operate, and whatever he's doing right now with Stevenage is working and then some.
Oh, yeah, he's done a fantastic job, as you say, for where they were. And in terms of, you know, obviously last season went up in the automatic position with Orient. I think the last game as well before that beat Orient 3-0. So that's a bit of a revenge in that sense. And then they've got a good point against Carlisle, who were in the playoffs last season. So, yeah, whatever he's doing, I think the thing I think about Steve Evans is he maximises what he has. He's definitely getting the best out of his players. And yeah, what a fantastic job he's doing. Whether they can stay there, I think it's a different matter. We know it's a long season. I think he'll do well. Don't get me wrong, but we know that League One's real, real tough this year. And you just, you know, the teams we're going to talk about, just massive teams with huge infrastructures that, you know, we think not shouldn't be in League One, because I think you deserve to be where you deserve to be in terms of that's, you know, playing on the pitch. But, you know, there's a lot of teams with a big amount of backing at the moment in League One.
Stevenage top, Bolton second, Exeter, as we mentioned, in third, Port Vale fourth, Pompey fifth, Cambridge sixth, Oxford just behind them in seventh, both on the same points. Charlton Athletic, slightly further down the tree in 17th, does mean, though, that we see Michael Appleton back in amongst professional football as a head coach. And having seen him at close quarters and having seen his teams, I think it's safe to say That we're both glad that he's back, Courtney. He's a welcome addition back to League One, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Look, he's so experienced in League One, and he knows the league. I think that's very important within the EFL. You know, I think it's been a few turbulent years, hasn't it, for Charlton, both on and off the pitch. So, you know, I think it's the buzzword we always speak about within football, stability. For me, that's what I think players thrive under. And if he can bring that back to Charlton, then, you know, he can really push him up. And we know, again, the one of those clubs that have probably got, you know, the infrastructure. So if he can get the things right, you know, on the pitch for a start, and then obviously have that bit of influence off the pitch as well, you know, then he'll do well.
I think I've just realised I've said safe to say twice, right? So when in my head I'm working out how to be, I'd say broadcaster, but a question asker, which I think you know, Courtney, is more where I am rather than a broadcaster.
Oh, it's more.
These little things stick in my mind. So if I say it again, feel free to steam in and tell me off. There's just a little bit of a language housekeeping for us there. Anyway, a reminder of just how big League One is. Derby taking on Pompey, Reading taking on Bolton, four former Premier League teams there. Pressure's on these sides, of course. Is it realistic pressure from what you've seen of them this year? Is it historical pressure by virtue of just the size of the names of the teams that we're talking about?
Well, I think there's both. I think, for example, you're looking at Reading and the game they played against Cambridge. They're quite far away now. I think, look, in terms of the young talent they've got, I think they've got one of the youngest sides in the league, Ia Bisherman and Savage. Look, they've got fantastic talent, but right now they've not got that experience to sort of, you know, balance and cope with the pressure that they're going to be under. So I think for them to get promoted again, I think at this stage is unrealistic. I think they need to build in terms of talent they've got, bring some experience in if they can, and build from there and just try and have sort of a steady season, and then to push on. In terms of Bolton, they're going great guns, aren't they? And, you know, Adeboy Ajo and Charles have been doing really well. So, again, that's a stadium that you sort of walk into and think this isn't a League One stadium. But as I say, you get what you're deserving in terms of your performances on the pitch. I think, you know, Derby are doing really well last time out. You know, Cashin got a goal. I really like him, by the way. I'm surprised that Derby have managed to keep hold of him. Waghorn with a hattie as well. And again, Pompey, we're speaking about these massive, massive clubs. So, you know, it is, I think some of it's historical, but some of it is, obviously, they've got the ability to really push forward and get themselves out of League One.
Into League Two, which is obviously where the teams in League Two want to get out of. Into League One, Gillingham back at the top under Neil Harris. He wasn't happy with the Grimsby performance, said a few choice words, which, knowing Neil Harris like I do, would have been very choice. And he's with us later on in the podcast, and hopefully he's going to keep it clean, which is absolutely what mine and Courtney's job will be to do. He got results against Harrogate in, was safe to say, ridiculous circumstances, because it was about 30 degrees, wasn't it, the course of the weekend?
Yeah.
Which, having watched my son play football and wasn't running around at all, that was me, by the way, was very hot, and he was cracking his way through it, fair play to him. We're going to get the inside track on what they're doing at the Gills and how well they've done so far this season. There was a draw at the top with MK Dons and Notts County. Swindon scored 5 goals again. They're fifth. They've got a goal difference of +9. I think we're in the realms of Swindon being League Two's entertainers, are we, Cuts?
Yeah, it's, you know, goals in the as you say, very entertaining. They're leaking a few as well. But look, if they're winning games, it doesn't matter, does it? And in terms of, it's, you know, a bit old school, isn't it? You score 3, we'll score 5 and leave it as that. But I think the big one for me is Jake Young, isn't it? The amount of goals he's scoring, the fact that Bradford are struggling to score goals and they've let him out on loan. Look, hindsight's a wonderful thing. They, you know, Bradford, they wouldn't have expected the injuries that they've got. But, you know, it's certainly showing that he's more than capable, obviously, of scoring goals this league, and probably looking round and looking over his shoulder and maybe, you know, sending a few messages for you to Mark Hughes saying, look, I can score these goals. So it'll be interesting to see, obviously, you know, when his loan spell comes to an end and if they might try and claw him back a bit early.
Speaking of Bradford, you saw the Bradford-Grimsby game. 1-1 it finished, of course, between those two. And we also sat at the back end of last season on that little perch in the corner of Valley Parade watching the first leg of the playoff semi-final against Carlisle. Of course, second leg went Carlisle's way, as did the whole of the playoffs. Given what you've seen first-hand from Bradford, again, expectations on a sizable football club in this particular division, where are you placing them right now? Underachieving? Are they in a position of can do better?
Can do better. I think the injuries are the thing that's really hurting them in terms of the injury to Patterson. And obviously Andy Cook, he scores goals. It's as simple as that. So to take someone like that out of your team, it's always going to be difficult. I think, you know, not necessarily in that Grimsby game, it was slightly different. It didn't follow the trend, but previously in terms of Bradford, they were creating the chances. Their XG, expected goals are really high. It's just the fact of them not finishing them. And then when you think you're taking Andy Cook out of the team, you know, it says to you that hopefully when he's back in and he's back from injury, which I believe is a few weeks, then they will be okay. And it was, you know, I must admit, I don't think it was the best game to watch. Obviously, we got a goal at the end of each half. That's probably putting it quite nicely. But I think if they can get through the period, you know, with the injuries and, you know, pick up, you know, some decent points, I think it was a decent point, then they'll be okay. And I think, again, they've got to use that home advantage. I think, what was it, 15,000 season tickets they've got. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, it's fantastic. But I think, you know, this is why they got someone like Mark Hughes in. They really need to push on. And I think, you know, there's no doubt about it. The aim is promotion. It's as simple as that.
A little insight there to what a pundit has to go through when you're sat watching a game and scratching your heads thinking, half-time could be tricky. But Gibbon Courtney's a professional, always makes it look very seamless. Right, the Championship is back. We've had an international break. We've got a wonderful couple of games to start us on Friday night. One of them is live on Sky Sports. It's Southampton against Leicester City. Now, of course, last time out, Southampton, 5-0 defeat up in the northeast to Sunderland. Leicester City lost for the first time against Hull City. Enzo Maresca, I don't know whether the timing was perfect of that manager of the month jinx, which then made his team lose. Obviously, that's completely the reason. It's nothing to do with performances. That's exactly how this type of thing works. We've got two teams, of course, that are very much in the bookies' favourites to be up at the top end of the division come the end of the season. It's quite simply a mouth-watering game, isn't it, to get us back into the Championship?
Yeah, it's a huge game. And I think, you know what, I've been really impressed with Leicester. For me, I didn't really give them a chance to be at the top end of what I saw at the back end of the Premier League
Why'd
season
you say
in
that?
Terms of... I think there was a lot going on at the club. If, you know, people can't tell from my accent, I am from Leicester. So it's something that I can, you know, talk about quite closely. And yeah, I think in terms of, look, we knew Maddison was going to leave. I didn't think, you know, it would keep hold of Dewsbury Hall. At Leicester, there was a bit of a change. I think the club was in a little bit of a disarray. There's, you know, financial issues going on in the background as well. So, you know, I wasn't sure that you know, they'd be able to really compete in the Championship. But I think Maresca's done a fantastic job. He's, you know, he's brought a few players in. You know, he's got, you know, players like Vardy with that experience playing again, in terms of the little bit of change of formation as well. And as I say, keeping hold of Dewsbury Hall, I think was massively important. Obviously, yes, there's things to improve on. I think, as I say, when you're coming through with a new formation defensively, they don't always look the tightest in terms of, you know, conceding from corners. I know the Rotherham one was disallowed in the end, but from Coventry, that's still rearing its head ever so slightly. But I think there's a lot to look forward to for Leicester fans.
The reason, of course, that we're looking at a team that has to react is because of Hull City. Wonderful work being done in the transfer window for them, the likes of Scott Twine coming in, of course, and Liam Delap's joined. Given what Liam's done so far, I'm keen because I've discussed this in recent weeks, but I think prior to this game, it is a real statement victory, isn't it? Because it then allowed Preston North End to climb to the summit, given what they did just before the international break. Did we think that we'd see Preston at the top of the league anytime soon?
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I didn't. I'll be very honest. But I love it. And this is why I love the FL. I love the Championship, because year on year, yes, you think Leicester are going to be up there and Southampton because of what we've seen and coming down from the Premier League. But, you know, then someone comes out of nowhere and that's Preston. And I think they were a bit more pragmatic last season and just going about their business and sort of in the middle. I know there was that push, wasn't there, at the end that, you know, just missed out. But I think, look, they're doing a fantastic job. And they deserve to be there. Yes, it's early on, but I think you'd rather be at the top of the pile looking down at this stage of the season. You've got the points on the board. And yeah, as I say, it's the Championship at its finest. The fact that then Southampton have got beat 5-0 as well, that we weren't expecting from Sunderland. But again, another fantastic job that I think Tony Mowbray's done at that club as well.
Gotta love what Tony Mowbray is up to up in the northeast. And the fact that Ryan Lowe will be playing against his former side, Plymouth Argyle, does that add an extra bit of spice to proceedings for this one for you?
Of course it does. When we're all in the game, we have to lie, don't we? Or, you know, be a bit, you know, nice with the truth in terms of saying the right things, and it doesn't matter. And even if you've left on good terms, it doesn't matter. But it does. I think if you've left on negative terms, you always feel like you've got something to prove. And even if you've left on good terms, you just want to say, look, yeah, I was here. I've got your number. So it always adds a little bit of spice. But I think, you know, I think going into the game, you'd probably, you know, fancy Preston for it. Although I have been, you know, again, Plymouth, what a, you know, an amazing time they've had. They're I say a smaller club, I don't want to say it like that, but in terms of, like I say, the statures of clubs, and they're going about themselves really
well. You've got Wilkie, of course, pulling up trees at the very top of the attack force for the Lilywhites. There's a South Wales derby on Saturday night in Cardiff, which sounds crazy when you say that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Errol Bullock, his first sense of it with the Bluebirds, and of course the same for Michael Duff with Swansea, 19th and 22nd respectively in the Championship. A lot of change going on with these two clubs, obviously, with managers coming and going. A big name as well in Aaron Ramsey. Whether he's going to be involved, we shall soon see. It always is a tasty game. Is that the nicest way to put it?
That's a good way to put it, Mr. Prutton. But yeah, look, it's, and I think it always puts a bit more spice on it now in terms of, you know, both at that the end of the table that you don't want to be. It's quite close. Again, I know it's early doors, but if you can get those points on the board, it's positive after the international break. And then also to get one over on the neighbours, on the rivals, it is always massive. So yeah, the fact that it's a Saturday night and a derby, it's surprising that it is. But I think, look, there's a lot to be said, and I think there's more change in Swansea for me. Michael Duff obviously going a little bit more direct as what we'd expect, but I think I expected them to be maybe more direct. I think he's still trying to do the right things. It's obviously a massive departure from Russell Martin, because that was just not necessarily overplay, but he really wanted to play to sometimes to their detriment, in my opinion, at times. So, yeah, again, a little bit of change of formation and trying to be more direct, which you'd expect, but actually also trying to play. So, no, for both of these sides and early on in the season, it's always going to take some time. But we know in football that we don't always get time. What are we at 6-7 games in, and normally you get to 10 games, and that's when you're looking over your shoulder for managers thinking, right, if I'm not doing very well, then it might be time for the chop.
Keep a keen eye on that strong first half from you, Courtney Sweetman-Kirk. Just while you're here as well, because I followed it across your socials, being out of the World Cup looked like a hell of a lot of fun in Australia.
Yeah, it was one of those once-in-a-lifetime experiences. I know it sounds cliche, but yeah, it was unbelievable. So, you know, I was trying to work hard, but, you know, surfing on Bondi Beach on the off days, I mean, it'd be rude not to. But yeah, look, I was so proud of the girls as well. A lot of friends and former teammates in that squad is, you know, sad that they couldn't go all the way, but, you know, they had a really good go of it, and it was an amazing experience for everyone there, I'm sure.
Well, they did us all very, very proud indeed, as you continue to do so. And for that, you get a small reward, which is this middle portion of the official EFL podcast. Get yourself a flat white and put your feet up.
I'm Aaron Ramsey, and this is 72 in 72. Leeds, Leicester, Chef Wed. Ipswich, Preston, Swansea, QPR, Watford, Birmingham, Middlesbrough, Blackburn. Bristol, say. Cardiff, say. I forgot that one then. I thought that was a gimme.
So, unlucky for some, Aaron Ramsey with 13 there. It's not as easy as it sounds, is it? The 72 in 72. That puts him bottom of the table, unfortunately. Matt Smith leading the way with a very healthy 38. Now, as a segue to a team that's absolutely not bottom of the pile and that's absolutely flying high in Sky Bet League 2. Joining myself and Courtney now is Gillingham boss Neil Harris. Chopper, you must be delighted with the way things are going so far, mate.
Yes, folks. It's been brilliant. I've got to be honest, we've not played well in some of the games that we've won. And you know, there's so much more to come from the group, but we've had five wins in the league, 7 wins in all competitions out of 10 games. It's been a mad start, 10 games in the first 5 weeks, I've got to be honest, for the group, for the staff and the players. But we had a real positive start.
It's been a positive start, and it was a positive weekend, of course, off the back of a game, it's safe to say, against Grimsby, where you've even said yourself there were some choice words being used. Is it a case of early season standards being met but also needing to be maintained given the fact that you're sitting pretty at the top?
Yeah, Grimsby was a harsh reality for us, really. I suppose Colchester as well in the defeat there. Where League Two this year, perhaps it's as good, miles better than last year. It's competitive, people say, as they've ever seen League Two. There's so many good teams and there's so many good players playing in it at the moment, that there's whoever gets promoted this year is going to lose a lot of games of football, in my opinion. So it might be quite a low points total that gets you there. So we're going to Grimsby. I probably picked the wrong team, and that's no disrespect to the players I picked, just maybe not the right balance to go to Grimsby against the physical legs of nature of their side. So I was disappointed afterwards. But it was just a reality for all of us that if you don't perform to the standards that you set, and have a clean sheet mentality and a mentality to defend your goal as a whole unit, then you can get beat on any given Saturday afternoon this season.
Neil, can I take you back to what you just said in terms of, you know, you're winning games, but you're probably not seeing the best of your team in a strange way. Is that actually quite pleasing? Because you're winning games, you're finding a way to win. So then when they're, you know, coming out with the performances that you're expecting, surely you're going to be flying at that point.
Well, Courtney, I hope so. I certainly hope so. I think the most important thing is that I'm honest with everybody that, you know, we're top of the league, but we've still got, you know, improvement in us as a group. A lot of signings in January, a lot of signings in the summer. So we're still coming together. So the potential there for us to get so much better, yes. Defensively, we've only let 5 goals in. Obviously, we've had 5 clean sheets. The top end of the pitch, we found a way to win games, as you said, Courtney, but we've not been free-flowing. We've not been as creative as we were, certainly in the second half of last season. And that's what's got to improve. So, yes, when that clicks, when people like Johnny Williams and Connor Mahoney and Macaulay Bond really start hitting the levels we know they can hit and have done for year after year, then, yes, we will be a lot more of a threat going forward.
I just mentioned it to Courtney earlier on, Neil, that the past weekend, it was nice, we had a nice weekend off, but my son was playing football and we were up in Dewsbury, which is very, very, very north of where you are,
yeah,
of course.
I know it.
But it was still boiling hot, and watching that was tiring, even though I wasn't running around. The fact that your boys were in action and you lent on a nice bit of experience, a bit of seniority, I'm thinking Tom Nichols, George Lapsley, Sean Williams, and you've got players in that position that haven't done much training are looking over to you after about 20 minutes and kind of not really giving it the signal, but kind of looking over saying, Gaffer, it's a bit, I'm struggling a bit here. It sounds like you had a group mentality that got you through that game at the weekend in, let's say, tricky circumstances.
It was madness. You know, I was watching my daughters play on Sunday in the heat, and it was carnage. And I can't remember too often playing or coaching or managing on the sideline in the heat like that, pitch side. Mm. But when we've done pre-seasons, when we played abroad, you see it all the time. But that's a one-off. This was completely different. I think even the atmosphere in stadiums was different. Everyone was just so hot and knackered and didn't really want to be there in the second half. Especially when they put up 15 minutes of added time in the second half.
Is that
half.
How much it's, it was?
Yeah, 14 minutes, yeah. Yeah, but then you're looking at people like Sean Williams at 36, and I'm thinking, Dave Livermore suspended at the moment. He's not pitch side with me, so he's on the mic sitting upstairs. I've got Keith Millen, absolute football legend, sitting next to me, unfortunately. And I'm going to the guy like, we need to take him off, but we've got no one to put on because the injuries we've got. And I think the poor old boy, he's looking over and I'm going, get up the pitch, get behind the ball. And he must be looking at me thinking, no, I can't do it. But then pops up in the 100th minute, because it was the 96th minute.
Yeah.
But we'd played five added minutes in the first half as well. So it's 100 minutes into the game when he pops up with a winner. So, yes, group mentality, brilliant to find a way. Can't use the phrase to find ways to win. We found a way to win again. And that just sheer desire and hunger, I suppose, that's probably got him to 600 career appearances and still playing at 36 and captaining the side, because he's just got that desire to keep doing it.
That's a galvanising factor, isn't it, Courtney, playing in a team such as that. It sounds tough talking about it, but coming through it together, the confidence that can spur you on to know that we're not talking about going to war. We understand where football sits in the firmament, but looking at each other after 100 minutes worth of football and thinking we got through that, it can build real building blocks, can't it?
Yeah, and we were speaking about performances as well, weren't we? And it's sometimes the lesser performances, but you found a way to win. If it's a late goal, if it's tough circumstances, actually, you know, within the changing room, sometimes it means a little bit more in a strange way.
It hugely does, doesn't it? We all know that. You come in and you see anything, oh, it's nil-nil, crowd's getting a bit edgy, they're bored, they want to go home, they're thirsty. And then all of a sudden you pop up of a moment like that, and with 100 minutes before it's all been forgiven, and all of a sudden the team are adored again and loved, and the fans, their team's top of the league. The change room's buzzing. Look, we got a real feel good factor with the new owner still from January, and the fact we've got to remember, guys, that back in January we just got 7 goals in the first half of the season. We had 11 points. Last Christmas, we've got 15 points already. So I think that's the reality check for us, is that we've come so far second half of last season. I think we'd have won the league in the second half of the season and where we are now. So we come a long way. But even that last minute goal just keeps that momentum building all the time. It's brilliant.
Like I say, with it based on 5 clean sheets in the league as well, I mean, that's fundamentally, if you look at a team that's going to get promoted, it's at the back where you really see that real improvement. And how has that been for you, Neil? Has it been personnel? Has it been formation? Is it just literally having time? Because that's the thing. Courtney and I, we're in a very privileged position where we do speak to a lot of managers. That is your most precious commodity, isn't it? Give me time to be able to show you what I can do and what this team's capable of.
Yeah, and I think that's why I always say, Bruts, that I try not to look at the league table. It's lovely being top of the league at the moment, and you can't, when you've got Sky Sports on all day, it's hard not to see where you are in the league table. But I try not to look at the league table until 12 games in, because I think you then get a true reflection, or a lot more of a sensible reflection on what the league looks like. But we do, as managers, you build, especially over the transfer windows now with January and the summer, you do need that little bit of time just to bed your ideas in. And ultimately, I'm still learning about the group. You know, I'm still learning about best combinations. Changed the centre-half pairing at the weekend for the first time. And, you know, just trying something different. And it's the same with centre-forwards. You've got a couple of centre-forwards missing in League Two. It can make a huge difference. You get two players missing in the same position, it can be the difference between winning and losing games of football for managers. Time's always important. You know, we'd always ask for that as coaches and managers, but then I also understand that the world moves so fast now. People have opinions very, very quickly.
Neil, you say, you know, you've got 15 points. I think that's some 27% or something that, you know, compared to the 55 of last season. And that's after 7 games. So for you, compared to, you know, you're talking about, you know, a few personnel and getting that time. But what's the big thing for you that you feel has changed so far in these first 7 games for you?
I've got to be honest, I don't think it's just the first 7 games. I think it's just a continuation that we picked up so many points. I think we picked up 42 points from 22 games last season, from January the 7th onwards. So I think it's just been a continuation of that, really, that the players that we bought in January were a big mainstay of the group, and then players that didn't really play in the second half of the season have moved on, and we brought in 6 or 7 more personnel that sort of come into that first 14, 15 category of players. So I just think we're a stronger group, more strength in depth, more reliability, and players that have worked with me over a period of time now since January And then people like Conor Mahoney that I signed at Millwall a few years ago has come in as well, that doesn't need time to settle in with me as a manager because he knows what I demand from a wide player. League two reliability, I think we've signed as well. Someone like, no respect to Johnny Williams, for example. Yes, he's played Premier League football and international football 50 times for his country. But he's played in League Two also, so he's got the knowledge of doing it. So I think we recruited well in the last two transfer windows. That's probably been the biggest thing.
Almost 10 years into it then, Neil, and it always sounds very formal calling you Neil.
unusual, yeah.
So when people call me David, I'm looking around going,
who's that?
Oh, mate, sorry, yeah. Yeah. On this managerial merry-go-round, what have you made of it so far? Was it all you expected? Is it as fraternally fulfilling as it seems to be? Because you all seem to be in the same position. You all, by virtue of being in a football club, you always come out of football clubs. You're always desperate to get back in again. You've safe to say you've got the bug for it, haven't you?
I don't know why I do it. Perhaps I've got to be honest. In madness. It's that we've all played the game. You play the game because you've got talent when you understand the game. And it's an opportunity to win games of football, and you have that mindset of a youngster growing up. And coaching and managing is the next best thing for me. Perhaps we've done loads of games, come in the studio, do it. Look, brilliant. I absolutely love it. We love the punditry side of it. I think it's brilliant because there's no pressure on it. You know, you watch a game of football and you just say what you see. You do that to a certain degree to manager, but your next on the line each time you lose because of people's opinions, media, social media, fans in stadiums. But it is enjoyable, and the moment I don't enjoy it is the moment I call it a day. Like you said, I think nine years I've done now, and that bug of winning games is still there. That bug of coaching a team to find a way to win on a Saturday is still there for me. I speak to a lot of managers that are managing at the moment at my level and above and below, to be honest. And then I spoke to a couple of managers last week that weren't working. I spoke to Danny Cowley last week. I speak to him most weeks. And I spoke to Nathan Jones last week that are ready to work again, but I've also enjoyed the break of not working, you know, away from the pressure. I think sometimes you need that break to realise what you miss. And when I stepped away from Cardiff and I had a year off out of choice, I needed a break to recharge, but also it reminded me of why I love football so much and why I do it.
And is it that gap, is it only having that gap that really helps to give you that perspective, because otherwise you'd just never stop, would you? And I bet you could do it where you looked up after 15 years and think, well, I've been there, and it's just absolutely flown by. Does it give you that sense of being able to say, where am I now and what do I want to do the next time I go in somewhere?
Yeah, the two words you use were perspective. Yes, one. Reflection time is the other one. You know, to put into perspective what you've achieved, how far you've come, what you've learned, where you want to get to, and then the reflection time is what you've done wrong, basically. What you've done well, what you've done wrong. And we don't really get a chance to do that. Like I said, we've had 10 games already this season. Seems crazy since the start of August. So you don't get a chance. I watched the game back. I look at myself, did I pick the right team? How did we play? And then you try and adjust it for the next game. But you don't look at a block of work, really. You don't really get a chance of that. So that's something when you're not working you get a chance to do. Perspective, yeah, I always look at perspective and think there's thousands and thousands of football teams, all age groups, and you work in the top four leagues in the country, in Britain. I always look at perspective like that. But then I also try and look from a football fan as well, because I love football. Love watching England last night beat Scotland, that's for sure. I'll try and look from a football fan perspective as well. When you're getting a bit of stick, which tends to happen as a manager, I do try and look from a football fan's perspective. What are they seeing?
You talk about you spoke about your daughters as well, in terms of, is it nice to go and watch them and see them play as well, and maybe see it, you know, football in a different light and enjoy it through them? Or is the manager in you still a little bit like wanting to get involved?
I love watching them play. Yeah, they'll say the manager's still involved in me because they'll hear me. on the sideline. So my eldest is 16 now, so she started playing step five football, ladies football. So I enjoy watching that. And my 11-year-old plays, so she's a goalie. So a different perspective as a goalkeeper, because what do I know about goalkeeping?
And why would anyone want to be a goalkeeper is what I always say.
Yeah, I always think she's not bad, but I always think she don't want to run around, but she's quite tall. So, yeah, but what do we know about goalkeeping? So I try not to say too much to her about that.
Any advice for the Harris girls, Courtney, with regards to any of that? Not perhaps not being in goal.
Yeah, but, definitely not the goalkeeping. You definitely don't want to ask me about that. But you know what? Obviously, sort of I'm not playing now, and just having that, what is it, 12 years of, you know, being pro, and before that, just playing since I can remember, just enjoy it. Because, you know, we all know it goes by far too fast. And, you know, just enjoy the good moments as well. Because I think we're so busy on trying to get the next one and get the next one and be ambitious. And that's obviously important. But, you know, you've got to enjoy the steps as you go along. And what a fantastic place that women's football is in at the moment. So I'm excited for all the young girls that are just starting their journey.
Cool, it's brilliant, isn't it? The game's come so far. I go to watch my youngest one in a park on Sun, and it's just full of girls' teams playing football and the odd boys' team. 10 years ago, there might have been one girls' team playing. I think it's brilliant. Don't stop moving it forward, though. We've got to keep moving it forward. The girls' game.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. It's all the momentum that's been gained off the back of what we've seen at the Euros and the World Cup. I was speaking to Courtney earlier on. She was out there. She says she was working at the World Cup, Neil. Yeah. But everything I saw was surfing, coffee, and just hanging out. Which, I mean, I'm saying that as you've seen me sit eating Kit Kats and drinking coffee and passing judgment on football that we've watched, mate. But yeah.
Yeah, that's your reflection time, Courtney, wasn't it? Drinking the coffee.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And now delivering your performance. It.
Yeah.
It's made her a more well-rounded pundit for the better. Anyway, this has been absolutely lovely. Neil, thank you very much for your time. Joining us on a day off. The next port of call, you tell us, is cutting your grass?
Cut the grass, yeah. Then heading towards, I've watched, we've got Morecambe at the weekend. I've watched three games of them already, so I'm sort of prepared. Maybe a little bit on set plays. Prepared tomorrow's session. So that's my day. Living the dream.
Love it. Exactly. No rest for the wicked. And Courtney, you're working at the weekend. You've got the pleasure of coming up to Yorkshire again.
Yes, I'm in Huddersfield, so it'll be an interesting watch for that one.
And it won't be 30 degrees like it was this past weekend. I'd bring a Mac and some just to make sure that you're okay. You two are an absolute pleasure. Courtney, thank you very much for your time as co-host. You've been wonderful.
Thank you.
And Neil Harris, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Chopper, to all those who know him very, very well, all the very best for the rest of the season, and hopefully have you back on the official EFL podcast.
No problem.
Well, what a lovely catch-up with those two, and all three of us, of course, getting on like a house on fire. Big thank you, of course, as well to Aaron Ramsey for taking part in the 72 in 72. As always, if you've enjoyed it, then please do give us a 5-star rating. Press the follow button and share on all of your socials. If you're listening to the audio-only version of this podcast and haven't as yet seen us in full glorious Technicolor, then you can watch this on YouTube. All the episodes are on the EFL's YouTube channel, which is right now available, including this one. So go and give us a gander if you haven't done already. My name is David Prutton. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you same time next week for another episode of the official EFL podcast.